everyone, and welcome to Jackie's Quilting Chronicles. This is Jackie. Welcome to my podcast episode number 13. I have a special treat for you today. I'm sitting here with my friend Marie Bostwick. She's a New York Times best-selling author. She has written many books, but three of the books that I have been most interested in are her Cobbled Court series. She has her newest book that was just released a few weeks ago in April, and I've read it already. It's a big hit, and we're going to sit and we're just going to talk with Marie a little bit about quilting, a little bit about her book writing, a little bit about her series, and getting to know Marie a little bit better. Welcome, Marie.
Well, thank you. I'm glad to be here, Jackie.
You got to tell us a little bit first, a little bit of background about you as far as how you got into quilting and how long you've been quilting. I mean, obviously you have knowledge about it because you write about it in your book.
Well, so. I have been people since I write these novels that quilting figures so heavily, people think I'm this expert quilter, which mm-hmm. I am not. Mm-hmm. I am a very enthusiastic hobby quilter of moderate talent at best. But I have been quilting for a long time. I've been quilting for, I'm guessing, certainly more than 20 years, so probably about 25 years. Mm-hmm. And I initially took a class, back in Texas a long, long time ago, a hand quilting class, basically really to get away from my small children.
Gee, that sounds familiar, actually.
Just to get out of the house, yes. And I really enjoyed it, but I didn't go kind of whole hog, partly, I think, because of those small children. I just didn't have the time in those days when I had little toddlers nipping at my heels.
Understandably so.
Yes. Yeah. But then later, probably about 15 years ago, I started really getting into more quilting, doing more projects, because I just had more time, had a little more money for fabric then.
Right.
And so now, I would say it's tough with the writing. I probably make two good-sized quilts a year and then smaller projects as baby
quilts,
flat quilts.
That's still pretty good. And actually, I first met you face-to-face taking a quilting class with you.
I still have not finished that quilt. I must admit, that's supposed to be the wedding quilt for my son and my new daughter-in-law who just got married May 1st.
And you've got to get it done now. Now it'll have to be an anniversary quilt.
I told them I would have it finished for them before the birth of their first child.
Right. But that was a fantastic class that we took. We took it with Judy Niemeyer.
Yes. It was absolutely probably the hardest paper piecing class I've ever done.
Right.
I mean, all those curves, it's gorgeous.
It is. It is a gorgeous. That one, you saw. Well, you saw. I finished it.
Yes, I'm very irritated with you.
I didn't quilt it yet, though, so it's not done. I still have to get it done.
Yeah,
but,
okay. Try to make me feel better.
I'm hoping that will end up going, too, and I probably can't say it now, but it's a special gift for somebody.
Oh, wonderful.
And that person will probably listen to the podcast, so, but it was nice to finally meet you face to face because I had heard so much about you from our mutual friend Deb, whom you kind of wrote your first book about.
Well, it wasn't about her, but she inspired some of the plot line of the book because, and we're talking about Deb Mella, who is this wonderful lady who owned a quilt shop, which I frequented.
And I worked at.
Yes, and she worked at. And who just a few days before she was hosting a Quilt Pink event for breast cancer, was diagnosed herself with breast cancer. And, I found this out the way a lot of her customers did, and email, and of course I was concerned, and prayers, and, sending support, and supporting her daughter, and her daughter was doing a Race for the Cure thing, and I think...
I'm getting chills up my spine still thinking about how she found,
and so, that was effective, and that was very much on my mind, but then... After a while, the writer in me kind of took over, and I went, wow, talk about the cosmic irony.
Yeah.
You're hosting this event for this disease only to find out that you got this disease. So it just was kind of in the back of my mind. And then as time went on, after, Deb was doing better, and it looked like she was on the road to recovery, and she has, is for all intents and purposes cured. She's doing great.
She's doing great.
I've seen her. I got in contact with her and said, could I interview you about this? And so, you know, I talked to her about it more, and really, so her experience became the jumping off point. But I must say, and I do say at the back of the book, Deb and Evelyn are very, very different people.
Yes, they are, absolutely.
They're absolutely different people.
Absolutely.
I mean,
different.
Deb has this wonderfully supportive family, and Evelyn is really, she is divorced, she is kind of alone in the world, and she is starting doing all this at the beginning of the book all by herself.
Yeah.
And so that's, you know, really her story is not just the story of her, all the things that are going on, but her life transition, but most importantly, the community of quilters that support her through this life transition, which is really kind of a lot of what the books are about. Yeah. I've just found quilters to be amazingly supportive, caring, wonderful individuals, and we're just kind of bound together by this common experience.
Absolutely.
No matter how different we are.
Absolutely. I think that's so true. And I found in reading, you know, all of your books, I think any quilter who picks up one of your books can relate to any one of these characters in the book, because there's so many different things. You weave such a great story, and I think that we all can relate to somebody or in the book in various ways.
I think so too. One of the things I'm most pleased about in these books that's fun for me is that it is so multi-generational. My youngest character in the Cobblecourt quilt novels is Liza, and when the books open, she's just 19 years old. I just introduced my oldest character so far. Who knows? Maybe there'll be somebody
older. I love her too, by the way.
She's feisty.
She
I like
is.
Her.
She is. I like her a lot.
Virginia, she's a new character, and she's 80. And then we have people in their 30s, their 40s, their 50s. So what's interesting for me, and I think for most women, is like, look, either you're there, or you've been there, or you're gonna be there.
Mm-hmm.
So as you say, I'm trying to write things that any woman can relate to at whatever age and stage of her life she's at.
Right. Well, and especially I think as a quilter too, when you go to a quilting class or you go to a quilting show or event or something, you see all those age ranges.
Absolutely.
You know,
so
they, you know, you can't, you're making it, I think, more personal in a way.
Yeah.
In your books, because, I mean, it's a lot less people than if you were at a show or whatnot, but you meet these same types of, and they all have different tastes in quilts too.
They have different styles, and, you know, some are braver than, I'm actually right now working on the fourth book, and I actually have a sort of a new member of the quilt circle who, in fact, does not quilt.
Uh-oh.
And does not
Uh-oh.
Want to. Well, I added
some discourse is going to.
I added her because I got a lot of mail. I get a lot of mail.
Uh-huh.
And I got quite a lot of mail from a number of people who wrote me and said, I belong to this quilt circle, but I don't quilt. I bake brownies and I drink wine.
Oh, but we can use people like that in the quilt group.
Exactly. So she's there for just purely the companionship.
Yeah.
She doesn't want to quilt,
yeah.
But she likes these women and they like her and she bakes.
Yeah.
So.
Hey, she's a woman after my own heart.
That's right.
That's what I like to do, bake.
Yeah.
And if it's chocolate stuff, even better.
You're always going to.
Yeah.
Yeah, no.
Yeah,
I mean,
yeah.
that's really an admission ticket to just about any club
in
the world.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, before you wrote these novels, the Cobbled Court series, you had written previously.
Yes.
What can you tell us a little bit about what is the difference between those books and what, and even what your first novel was,
and what kind of
led you up to doing what you're doing?
Okay, well, that's a lot of questions. So let's start with my first three full-length novels were all World War II historical novels, and the first one, Fields of Gold, which you can still find it, I think, on Amazon. It's getting to be harder to find, but it's out there. Actually does have a strong quilting theme. The character in that book is handicapped, but quilting is her, it's her voice. She's very shy and she feels like an outsider. And so quilting is her artistic voice. So that I just did quite naturally because it seemed to make sense to me and fit with the character. But I wasn't setting out to write, quilting novels or anything like that.
It just worked.
It was right with the book.
But it's not really a quilting book.
And actually, I mean, to a degree, I don't think any of my books are that. My books, even though quilting is a strong theme in the Cobbled Court novels, they're about the relationship between the characters.
Yeah, I agree.
Which is why, you know, probably half of my readers don't quilt at all, which I think is wonderful, but they get the metaphor of quilting.
Right.
You know, I mean, we take all these little bits and scraps and pieces and that life hands us, and we kind of try and stitch them together into something that makes sense and is beautiful and useful, and people understand that. I think it's a wonderful metaphor for a writer and for readers.
Right.
Anyway, so... So Fields of Gold was my first book. Again, World War II historical fiction. That was
how long ago was that one?
That was released in 2005.
Okay.
And followed by River's Edge, which was set also totally different story, standalone, was set in the Connecticut River Valley at that same period of time. And then the third one, On Wings of the Morning, actually was a sequel to Fields of Gold, where I was talking more about the experiences of the son of the main character before, who was a pilot in World War II, and then also another character, Georgia, who's a female pilot with the Women's Air Service Pilots, the WASP, as you may have heard.
Yeah.
I think I got that right.
Yes.
And so that was really wonderful, and I enjoyed doing it. And at that point, I really felt I had said what I had to say about that period of time. Mm. So, you know, I write the stories I want to write when I want to write them. I really, I don't, I mean, I think about my readers, but I don't write because I'm saying, oh, this would be a good niche market. I write the stories that
because
I feel like
you
writing.
Enjoy it.
And I was ready to write this book, A Single Thread. Mm-hmm. I didn't begin it with the idea that it would become a series. I just thought it was a book. Mm-hmm. But when I finished it, I kind of was in love with these characters.
Yeah, I was too.
Yeah. And I was in love with this town, and I could just see all kinds of possibilities for other characters, other storylines, but I just didn't know if that was a good idea or not. And again, I didn't set out to write a series. So I wrote a letter to the readers at the end, basically saying, so what do you think? Should I should I keep going with this? Let me know. Well, after I sent that off and you know, sent the manuscript off to my publisher, actually very shortly after that, my editor called me and said, I love this book. And by the way, Reader's Digest purchased the book for inclusion in.
Really?
Yeah. Now they're called, I mean, they bought it within days of my finishing it. It's called Select Editions now, but it used to be in our day, you know, it was Reader's Digest condensed books.
Right.
And so my editor said, why don't you do more? And I was happy to do it. So I got started. But it was wonderful for me that when the book came out, I was just flooded. And I still, to this day, I get mail almost daily from people who say, I love this book, keep going. And that's such an encouragement to me as a writer.
Yeah, and I mean, the characters, I mean, are so, it's so easy to see how they can evolve.
Yes.
You know.
Well, and because really the anchoring point is the town and the quilt shop, characters can come and go, just like they do in regular life. So I don't have to write about the same characters all the time, nor do I wish to. In fact, the book I'm working on right now has two brand new characters that have never been seen in this series before. And that's wonderful.
Yeah.
You know, there's just an endless
supply. I'm looking forward to
supply. I'm very excited about that.
Hurry up. No.
Believe me, I'm writing as fast as I can.
Yeah. I have to say, with all three of the books, the first one being Single Thread, second being A Thread of Truth, and the newest one, A Thread So Thin, and I was telling you this before we got started on the podcast, you know, being a fellow resident of Connecticut and actually where these books are based, you've based them here in Connecticut, I can so envision in my mind what this little town looks like, what the quilt shop looks like. I think you do a great job in giving us that imagery to, you know, just see it.
Well, and that's what I want for you. You know, I want you to see it the way I see it in my head. It is funny, you know, it's obviously, it has a New England flavor, but it's so funny to me that this little town, in a lot of ways, is very transferable to any little town in rural America. Even though New England has a particular architecture that I enjoy and the way we lay out our streets and, you know, the green in the middle of the town, and which is very classic New England sort of thing. But at the same time, I've had people write and they've told me that New Bern, which, by the way, I made up.
Right.
They've told me they've been there and they've been writing me from North Carolina or Tennessee or wherever. And, you know, good. That's wonderful. I mean, I'm sure in a way, they have been.
Yes.
Because
yes, you are in your mind's eye. You're there.
We're writing about that little town that is like a lot of little towns, you know, with certain casts of characters. And, I always think of, I live in a town like that. And one of the things I love living in a small town is people care about you enough to gossip about you.
Yes. That's true. But now with the days, all we need is the internet and people can gossip much easier. It's not the same, though.
It's not the same, It's not the same.
No. But now you didn't always live here in New England.
You've
lived multiple places, similar to your main character, Evelyn, right?
She
didn't start off living in Connecticut.
No, she definitely didn't.
And you didn't either. And now, how many places have you lived in?
Oh,
I know
my goodness.
You've been around quite
a
bit.
That would be, that's really almost hard to ascertain. I'm a native Oregonian, but I've been married for 29 years almost, and we've had 18 addresses in that time.
Oh, my goodness.
especially when we were young, earlier in our marriage, my husband got transferred a lot with his work. But I have lived in actually 8 states in the United States, and 2 states within Mexico.
Wow.
So I've lived internationally as well. Wow. And it's been, you know what, it's been a great adventure. But I've now been in Connecticut for... we've had 2 different houses, but for 9 years.
So has this been one of your longest?
This has been about the longest place I've been anywhere.
Yeah. Now, of all the places that you have lived, where would you most like to go back to?
Oh, gosh. You know, I have found that every place has something to recommend it. And usually it's honestly about the people. If you meet good people, nice people, if you make friends, that's what makes a town.
True.
I do love New England very much. I also, we lived in very rural Georgia at one point, and I really enjoyed that as well. But, I mean, there's never been any place that I've lived that I, after having lived there for a while, I thought, oh, no, this is horrible. I just, I can't bear this.
Right.
So... That's a hard. I didn't really answer the question, but I don't think I can.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you don't necessarily have a favorite. They're kind of all places.
Well, they're all different. It really would be like asking me which of my children was. Right. They're all. Yeah. They each have their strengths.
Right.
And I think the main thing when you move as much as I have is that you get so you immediately start to look for that.
Right.
You can't. And one of the things I think is dangerous. I've actually on occasion taught. A class at my church for people who are moving, because that's a terrible time of transition.
It is.
And one of the things that I tell them is, look, don't compare. You can't compare your new town with your old town.
Yeah.
Don't look in the rearview mirror.
Right.
You just look ahead and find out what's wonderful about this place.
True.
So.
And so, that's great advice. I mean, you're always looking at the positive rather than the negative.
Well, you might as well.
Yeah absolutely. Absolutely. Now, when you do travel, and I know that you just came back from promoting your new book.
Yes.
When you do travel, and especially with these books, you're probably meeting lots of quilters, I imagine.
Tons
of quilters.
Yes.
What are the types of places that you go to promote your book, and what are the people like? I mean, what kind of things have you learned
from
the quilters that you've met?
A lot of what I've learned from the quilters that I've met is just relearning what I always knew, which is quilters are just so much fun. Mm-hmm. They really are. They're passionate. They're funny as a rule. One of the places I do go to quilt shows. I started this tour off at the Paducah quilt show.
I've always wanted to go to that one. Haven't been.
Goodness.
Good? Good
show? Oh.
Is it the quilt show to beat all quilt shows?
Well, I haven't, I'm going to go to Houston in the fall.
Oh,
so.
You're going. I'm going to be there too.
Okay, good.
The quilt market. Are you going to be at quilt market?
I don't know. They're setting up my schedule. I just do what I'm told.
Let me know. You have to send me an email because I've already got my room booked.
If you sign up for the
newsletter, I know.
Jackie, you'll have my schedule.
You're right.
Your email box.
Okay.
But it was just wonderful. And, it's such a joy for me when I go to things like that. So I was at, Paducah. So I had 4 signing sessions while I was there. And what was exciting was I met people who hadn't known about the books yet. Mm-hmm. But a lot of my readers were there who came up and they just wanted to share their story or tell me how they had related to one of the characters and especially touching is when somebody comes up and says, I was going through this really difficult time. Right at the time when I found this book and your character was dealing with that, and the fact that you gave her hope gave me hope too. it doesn't get better than that for me. That's payday. Yeah. You know, that's the bestseller list on New York Times, USA Today, Publishers Week. That's it. That's as good as it gets when somebody tells you that. So that's very exciting. So I do the big quilt shows. I sign in quilt shops.
Yeah.
And that is a lot of fun. My goodness, I was just at a couple of wonderful quilt shops in Texas, at Quilter's Dream in Colleyville, Texas. Mm-hmm. Oh, that was lovely. I mean, I thought a Friday morning, people would have to get off work. I didn't know how many. There were no chairs. People, it was standing room only.
Oh, you're we kidding.
And you know, the fun part about signing in quilt shops is they tend to bake. So there's usually some really good snacks. Bookstores, they don't always bake for you, but quilters, they're baking. And sometimes they give you fabric when you leave. So,
how nice is that?
So it's all good.
Match your stash.
Yeah. And I was also at another quilt shop that was great time too in McKinney, Texas, called the Quilt Asylum. Isn't that the best
name? I've heard of that place, the Quilt Asylum.
Oh, it's a great shop. And they were both wonderful shops. Yeah. So I did a little, you know, I did a little retail therapy while
I was there. Of course, you have to, right?
Absolutely. I speak at quilt guilds. Pretty often, too. I have a talk called When the Going Gets Tough, The Tough Turn to Quilting. Now, I don't teach because, as I explained to them, that would just make everyone unhappy. So I'm not a teacher.
And that's okay.
I speak to, you know, the quilting lifestyle.
And I think that would be fine. I mean,
oh, it is. And, you know, I give this talk fairly often. And so that's always fun. But then, of course, I do the standard. I go to bookstores, too. And I give interviews, you know, it's a very busy time when you're promoting a book. I was out for 3 weeks and I'm a little worn out, but that's all right. I had 2 days off in that 3 weeks.
Oh, wow. That's hard. That's a tough schedule.
Well, you know what? You get a lot of energy though from meeting the readers. So that's very helpful, but I am not sorry to be back home.
Yeah, I'm sure not. Definitely. Now I know, in Connecticut, I know one quilt shop, Quilting by the Yard, you'll be there in June, correct?
I will be there June 6th.
Sixth.
At Quilting by the Yard in Vernon, and I'm looking forward to that. I'm also going to be at the Fabric Bug in Thomaston, Connecticut on May 22nd. I can't remember the times right now, but if you got on my website, www.marieboswick.com, my schedule is up there. I'm also going to be going to the Wiltwyck Quilt Show.
My sister-in-law's quilt show.
Oh, well,
Shirley is my sister-in-law. Shirley Swenson. I don't know if you spoke to her.
I don't think I have. I do all this mostly during email, but I'll be there June 5th.
Yeah.
And then I believe we just scheduled, I'm going to be at the Columbus Quilt Show
later in
June. Yes. I think it's the 17th to 19th.
Now at least the listeners have a few of the dates, but if they really want to know all your schedule,
go to the website. Appearances section and you can look, and we try to keep updated.
Yeah. And you're going to be signing books, the new book.
I'll be signing all the books.
Books.
Do the back.
Oh, you do? Oh, good. Okay.
Yeah,
okay.
Absolutely.
And now the oldest one, Single Thread, still available online if they want to get it?
It's available everywhere. Okay. You know, and Thread of Truth, many bookstores would have that still in stock.
I saw your newest book I was down in Barnes & Noble the other day, and it was sitting right there front and center. It is available.
It is definitely available. And if for any reason your bookstore doesn't have one of the books you're looking for, most of them can order it for you very quickly indeed.
Yes. Oh, and by the way, I guess we should mention too that Marie has so generously donated an autographed copy of her newest book, A Thread So Thin, that we're going to be giving away. When you go to my blog, I will be posting a special post within the next couple days, and I'll probably keep it open for people to win the book from you. Probably about a week or so, they can comment, and a winner will be drawn
for
the book. Yeah, and they will also be encouraged to come to your website and sign up for your newsletter
Tell you about that. You know, I really have kind of a fun website, and I have a large group of my most dedicated readers that we call the Reading Friends. Mm-hmm. So if you register as a Reading Friend, there's a little, when you go to the front page, there's a box on the left side, it says become a Reading Friend and da 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 da, and you click on that, you fill in the form, you submit it. You'll get an email back from us with a hyperlink, which is usually in blue to click, and then you can log in with your username and the password you chose.
Okay.
So once you do that, there's all kinds of fun things you can do. The most popular of which is I have two free quilt patterns that are downloads, that are kind of companion patterns for the first book, which you just...
And this is the one that I just saw.
This is the one you saw.
It's gorgeous, by the way, if you're wondering. She has it laying out on her coffee table, and the quilt is beautiful.
Yeah,
so.
It's a table runner, a Hunter Star table runner, and it's a Deb Tucker pattern, and it's just terrific.
Gotta love Deb Tucker's stuff, too.
We adore Deb Tucker. She's just one of my favorite people in
the world.
Fabulous
directions. I told her when I met her, I said, she has got some of the most well-written patterns.
I absolutely agree. And her rulers are wonderful,
yep.
too.
Yep.
In fact, you know, and also Deb did a full-size companion quilt for A Thread So Thin, which is called Star-Crossed Love.
Excellent.
If you go to her website, which is www.studio180.net, you can buy that, the full-size pattern there.
Excellent.
And it's gorgeous.
Excellent.
It is so, so beautiful. But we do have the small, the table runner, which is absolutely free, along with the companion quilt for the first book, which is called Broken Hearts Mending. And that pattern has been downloaded just thousands of times. It's a great little lap quilt. Nice for a gift. You can do that one in a weekend pretty easily.
Yeah. I think that's wonderful that you share those with your readers.
I love that.
Fabulous.
And then the other thing, too, is, you know, once you're a reading friend, you get, you'll get my newsletter. Theoretically, you're supposed to get my newsletter once a quarter. That really never happens. I end up being too busy, but it keeps you informed of what's going on the website. The other thing too is you can then post in the forum.
Mm-hmm.
I have an online, the Cobble Court Quilt Circle online.
Yeah.
This group of gals is just very close, and you know, it's all the fabulousness of having your own quilt guild/circle with none of the meetings.
Right.
We pass on tips, and I'm on there when I can be. And in fact, we've done a couple of quilt block swaps already, which have been fun. And also, the ladies got together kind of all on their own and decided to have a quilt retreat in my town.
You're kidding. They had it here?
They're having it. Well, not in my house, but they're having it in my town. And so that's coming up in November. Now, that's fall.
And how long is that?
It's going to be
a weekend.
And
nice.
They just sort of said, this is what we're doing. So, and they let me come, too. So,
are they all local gals?
No, we have 17 women who are coming to this, which is all we could take. And they're coming, I think, from like 12 states.
Did you arrange it or did
they
arrange it?
No, they just
it?
Did. So
did they find the place? And
yes, they did. They did. Because honestly, I just don't have time for that.
Right.
So I'm really looking forward to that.
Excellent.
That's going to be fun.
Excellent.
And then the other thing, too, is we do a monthly reader contest, so we give away a book once a month, and sometimes we just have little surprises for the reading friends, like at Christmas last year I had some extra cookbooks left over, and I had these, and I thought, you know what, I'm just going to draw 10 names.
Nice.
And 10 of the readers just got this little maple syrup cookbook that
Very
I had.
Nice.
So I don't know. I like to make sure my reading friends are well
taken care of.
Yes.
Which is very nice, and that's something that you find in the quilting community. I mean, we all seem to take care of one another and look out for each other. And I think what you're doing on your website is great. And I told you, I have to confess, and I told Marie this, I said, I'm always on your website, and I always don't have the time to register. And Marie urged me, she says, it takes you how long?
It's 5 minutes.
Minutes.
I mean, it's really very simple. And if you have any trouble, I know, because I am computer techno challenged. I'm the technical. It really is easy. But if you have any trouble, send us an email.
Okay.
And as soon as my assistant is able to get to you, we don't, you know, there is no vast Marie Bostwick empire of people. There's me and my assistant who works for
and
me.
And your dog.
Time, and my dog, but he has no help on the computer at all. Ollie is just, he's decorative. Is really what he is. But we will get back to you and help you if you're having any trouble registering.
Good. That's good. I'm going to register today. I promise you.
Excellent. I'm going to watch you do it.
You will. I'm going to do it before I leave here. How's that sound?
Perfect.
So, but plus because I want to get that little pattern from.
It's a great pattern.
I love. You said the colorway that she has that you know on your table here.
Yes.
She gives you that colorway.
Yes.
Online. If any of you are into the bright color palette,
this is a jewel tone.
Beautiful.
I mean, you could do whatever you want. But I love, and it fits with the character in this book, who is, you know, a 22-year-old art student.
Oh, absolutely.
It's a little more.
I love
and yet
her.
It's traditionally, you know, it's still a traditional, traditional pattern, Hunter Stars. Yeah. So, but Liza is definitely kind of she's a very art.
I have
quilter.
To say, you know who one of my favorite characters in your book is? Charlie.
Isn't he great?
I love Charlie.
He's a sweetheart, but he's He's sort of a, you know, he's a little bit of a curmudgeon, but he has a heart of gold.
He
does,
and
guy.
I think that's why I like him so
and
much.
He cooks.
Yes, he cooks. I mean, what? I mean,
who would not want that?
I mean, when you're talking about some of them, when he's saying some of the things that he's going to cook, or you know, what he has cooked, or he owns this restaurant, and I would just love for that little restaurant to be around here someday, and I could just like walk in and say hi to Charlie.
Well, you know what? I can probably direct you there.
Good. Good.
It is based on an actual place.
Oh, excellent.
Yes. We'll discuss later.
Yes, absolutely. But he is probably one of the most, to me at least, one of the most endearing.
He is an adorable guy. He really is. He's not always easy. Yeah. He can really be difficult sometimes, but that's part of his charm. Yeah.
But I do love the newest character you introduced in the new book, Virginia. She's also very endearing in her own way.
Well, they all are. They're characters.
Right.
They've all got kind of these quirky personalities, but they're all worth knowing.
Yeah, and I think the way that you tell the story, you feel like you really do become to know them,
mm-hmm.
you know, and they're just a fabulous group. They kind of found each other, too.
Well, yeah, which I think is what happens frequently mm-hmm. with quilters. I mean, it's really, the quilting brings us together, but the quilting is what helps us find what we have in common.
Mm-hmm.
It's also what helps us appreciate our differences.
Yes.
You know, and I think that's, there's just something about playing with fabric
mm-hmm.
that helps
Absolutely.
People do that.
Absolutely.
You know, even when, I mean, haven't you noticed, like, you know, I have a particular type of quilting I do,
mm-hmm.
but one of the things that's wonderful about going to quilt shops and shows and seeing other quilters is you have an appreciation for what they're doing, even though their style is probably
mm-hmm.
very different.
Mm-hmm.
Or I mean, even when it's like, you know, I would never have thought of using that color combination.
Absolutely.
And so it kind of opens horizons
in
a way.
It does. I really agree with you on that. What is your... what is your favorite style of quilting? That you typically do or that you enjoy doing? What's
well, it's
style?
Funny. I mean, I'm definitely a piecer, although I've been piecing for so long that it's time to expand my horizons.
Mm-hmm.
I've tried appliqué a couple of times and it just never has really mm-hmm. taken, but
yeah.
I've just decided in the next couple of years, I want to, you know, get more into appliqué just because I think it's going to give me more opportunities
mm-hmm.
to try different things. I'm really enjoying paper piecing.
That's one of my favorites.
Well, you just
sew
on the line, right?
Oh, God, and the accuracy is
and you can do
to
things.
Die for,
you
too.
Can do things
sure.
with paper piecing you just can't do
right.
with traditional piecing.
That's true. That's true.
But I still am mostly a piecer. My quilts tend to like go through color phases.
Mm-hmm.
So very often my quilts have black in them.
Mm-hmm.
But not always. Recently, mm-hmm. I have discovered, I mean, forever, it just seemed like forever, all my quilts had red. It was red somewhere. And now I am finding myself kind of moving over. It's interesting that now my quilts are gravitating more towards blues, aquas, and that's kind of seafoam.
Like a
green,
almost
like
a Caribbean,
like
kinda.
A sea glass kind.
Yeah.
Well, but they're
yeah.
very soothing.
Right, right.
I don't know. Maybe that's because I'm looking for more soothing
right.
stuff in my life. You
well,
know?
Which is you know,
which is good.
Yeah.
But so it changes a little bit. But I would say my older quilts were definitely more jewel tone.
Mm-hmm.
But now they're a little more feminine. So
yeah.
it's interesting to see that evolution in my
yeah,
own quilts.
It is. It is interesting. I mean, I look at my stash, you know, which I've garnered over probably 17 years. And I look at some of the older stuff and I say, why did I ever like that? Well, maybe I do like that. Maybe I can work it in, you know.
Right.
So it does change. There
right.
is definitely an evolution.
There is.
That goes on.
I never get tired of blue and yellow and white.
Yep.
Never do.
Yeah.
I mean, I always, whenever I see a blue and yellow and white quilt, I'm just happy.
Yeah.
You know, there's something very... Doesn't it just make you think that, oh, we're going to the beach?
It does. It does. Those colors do.
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah.
Sure. Absolutely. But, you know, and I think as quilters, we're always, I know for myself anyway, I'm constantly learning.
Yes.
Because there's always new things. There's these wonderful people out there in the quilt industry that are always inventing new techniques
oh, yes.
and new gadgets and new this and that. And there's always something new to try.
Yes.
Too.
Although, you know, sometimes I resist the gadgets because there's a part of me that's a little bit militant that says, you know what? This is supposed to be fun.
Yeah.
And if it's not fun, I'm not somebody who has a meltdown if my 8 points don't meet absolutely perfectly. Right. I am much
more. Quilt police aren't going to be coming through your door.
No, and it's like, you know, if it's making your shoulders tense up and your jaw set,
then it's not worth it.
Then it's not worth it. I quilt to relax. Mm-hmm. I do not quilt to have. I have plenty of stress in my life. I don't want quilting to be part of that. Yeah. So while I love, you know, while I love to see something accurately and beautifully pieced, I'm not going to rip something out 15 times to make that happen. Right. If I rip it out like twice and it still didn't work, then we're just going to quit. Yep. You know, you say it'll iron out.
I get you. And you know what? I had one of those recent experiences, and people who follow my blog will, it was a very frustrating experience, and, and the thing just wouldn't go together.
Yeah.
I mean, and I wasn't looking for perfection. Yeah. I was looking for at least some resemblance of accuracy.
Right.
But the directions, it was from a magazine, which I won't say, the directions had not been written up correctly.
Okay.
And I finally said, you know what? This is causing me way more stress than I need.
It's not worth it.
And it's not worth it, so it's sitting in a bag, and I have to go sort through the fabrics and put them back in my stash because I'm not finishing this. It's not worth it. It's a beautiful quilt. It's a beautiful quilt, but I'll tell you what.
But you can maybe figure out a different way.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, absolutely.
Exactly.
No, I agree. I mean, it's supposed to be fun. We're supposed to be having fun.
Yes.
Now, I appreciate those people who have that, you know, accurate type A personality that they can do all that. And for them, that is fun. It wouldn't be fun if they, but it's just like, I'm just way more laid back than
that. Now, one other question. I know we're kind of bouncing back to the reading part.
Oh, okay.
I have a question for you about what kind of books do you like to read? I mean, I know you kind of read your books because you're reading them through as you're writing them. Mm-hmm. But I mean, when you're not writing, what are you reading?
You know, I have very eclectic taste in reading. I probably read just as much nonfiction as I do fiction. And I love a bookstore. I love to go to a bookstore and just browse and pick up whatever it is that appeals to me. I will say that these days, because now I know so many writers, I tend to be pretty occupied reading my friends' books.
Okay.
So I like reading books that my friends write. I just finished Frank Delaney's Venetia Kelly's Traveling Show, which is wonderful. Mm-hmm. I'm going to be reading, well, I started reading and I want to continue on with Diane Meyer's A Season of Second Chances. Mm-hmm. But then while I was out on the road, I was in a few bookshops, and I can't seem to go in a bookshop without buying some books. So I just picked up a book called Once Upon a Quincena, which is a nonfiction book about quincenas are the 15-year-old party for a girl in the Latino culture. It's sort of a coming out, coming of age party. Okay. And they are these very elaborate events, almost like a wedding. Really. Mm-hmm. And so having lived in Mexico for about 5 years, I thought that was an interesting subject. I also have been, you know, I picked up a book about sort of the Wall Street meltdown. That's on my stack too. Mm-hmm. Usually at any given moment, I mean, if you walked into my bedroom right now, there's, you know, seven or eight books up on the nightstand. So
it sounds like our bedroom.
Yeah.
My husband's got a stack on his and I have a stack on mine. And
that's right.
You know, you just read what you're in. And like you, I tend to bounce it, whatever catches my
some books that I go back to year after year. You know, I tend to read A Tree Grows in Brooklyn about every 2 years. Mm-hmm. I adore that book. Mm-hmm. So that's something I read. Mary McCarthy's The Women is a book I have read many, many times. Just because it's so wonderfully well constructed. I'm a big fan of Charles Dickens, and I'm a big fan of Edith Wharton.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, with those two, there's just an endless supply of things you can keep reading. Mm-hmm. So, although now that I do have so many friends who are writing, another new one, my friend Debbie Maycumber has her newest book, Hannah's List, out, which is one in her Blossom Street books.
Mm-hmm.
And Debbie always writes a really heartwarming book that any crafter, I mean, hers is a knit shop, knitting shop, but you can relate to it.
Right.
You know, again, like what I'm writing, it's about the relationship among the characters. So even though I am a terrible knitter, I got a friend over last night who's a good knitter, and we were ripping out one of the shawl that I've been
knitting
working on.
Knitting is easier to rip out, though.
Well, she was helping me back it out, but she was like, see that part where you did the yarn over? There's no yarn over in the pattern, Marie. And I was like, oh, so we had to undo it.
But it's kind of like undoing it or unsewing
it. Unsewing, right.
But what did you, just curiosity, what did you do before you decided to become an author?
Oh, I've done many things. I mean, my most important job, of course, is I was a wife and a mother, and I still am and always will be. I have three kids. I have, you know, had many incarnations. I've most recently, before writing full-time, I was in pastoral ministry to women. Okay. So I worked as a director of women's ministries at a large Protestant church, and I really enjoyed that. I've also had, in the past, I had my own event planning business at one point. I've worked on various, well, many years ago, I worked in political campaigns. Mm-hmm. I don't do that anymore and never want to.
They can be stressful.
It's a young person's business. Yeah. It's a young person's business for sure. So, you know, as my family has moved, I've done all kinds of different things. I've worked in parachurch ministry, but in the most recent years, it's been ministry and writing.
Interesting. You've led a very fulfulfilling life.
It's not been dull.
No, that's for sure. That's for sure. Well, I'm so glad that you were able to take the time and sit down with me and talk to my listeners. And I think that they're going
to
enjoy your newest book. And if they haven't read the previous ones, they should pick those up too.
I feel strongly that they should do exactly that as quickly as possible.
You know, I'm one of those people that I think that they could pick up any one of these books at any given time and read it. I'm one of those people who obviously read it from the first one to, you know, read it in chronological order, which you can do.
You absolutely can. But I also designed the book so that, I mean, I'm a reader as well as a writer, and it annoys me if I pick up a book and I feel like I walked in the middle of the movie. So even if the book that they start with is A Thread So Thin, which is the third book in the series, they will be able to understand what's going on.
Right.
On the other hand, if they are somebody who likes to start from the beginning, then I urge you to go out and find a single thread, which is book number one, and then follow it up with A Thread of Truth, which is book number two, and then go to A Thread So Thin.
But if they pick up the third book, they're going to want to read the first and second book.
I have found that to be very, very true. So
that'll be really, interesting, you know, to hear from people who pick up a later book and then go back, because some of the characters don't exist in the first book.
Right. So, we change, you know, it's about the town, and so the characters do change.
So, but I want to urge, you know, all of my listeners to definitely go out and pick up a book and go on to my blog, www.cvquiltworks.blogspot.com. Look for the post. It's going to be up within the next few days, and we are in May now, so just so if you're listening to the podcast, look for that post. It's all going to be all about Marie and her books. We're giving away her third book, and it's an autographed copy. So make sure you get onto my blog, find out how you enter for the giveaway, and you could be the owner of the third book.
And that would be fun.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, thanks again, Marie. It's been wonderful to talk to you, and we're going to go off air now, but I need to find out that restaurant and register at your website. So make sure you check out Marie at her website, www.mariebostwick.com. Thanks, everybody, and happy quilting.